Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hi, good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a fascinating program today. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen, it sure
is
good to see you.
I am here whether you want me or not.
Well, we're glad to have you aboard. Because, Dave, we have a fascinating program. This is one that's right down your alley, your area of expertise. I've kind of looked over and we studied this material, and I think we're going to title this one Salvation. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
That sounds right down your alley too, doesn't it?
Yep.
Well, you know something, Dave? It is a key word in the English language, and it's really our mind battle that each one of us have to tolerate. We have to learn to get over that and go for that eternal salvation. You know, when I entered my late teens, intense warfare it kind of emerged in my mind. It seemed that contradictions in the scripture existed. Remember going through those battles, Dave? Then I began to doubt the validity of the Bible when I saw hypocrisy in the believers or inconsistency in ministers and my own difficulties to live the biblical standard. It was tough times. But a couple of years went by as you grow and you emotional turmoil kind of takes place in your life, and you start seeing difficulties, and you have to look for tomorrow, and you start making plans, and you're setting goals. Well, things change. You know, I loved the presence of God then, and I received the Word of God. However, it seemed that the logic of my mind and my faith and my heart were in constant opposition. One day, in honest desperation, I asked the Lord to provide confidence and inner peace that the Bible was truly His infallible Word, not merely a compilation of human thoughts and ideas. And you know something? Once I was able to reach that point, I had really started to experience salvation. It didn't happen like some people, as fast you snap their fingers, they say they had eternal salvation. It didn't happen with me that way. It was a slower process. And truths had to emerge out of me. It didn't come with it real quick. No human could have written a standard as high as the scriptures teach. So that's where I found my strength in the Bible. No husband could have written a book to learn how to treat your wife the way that the Bible teaches. No wife could have written a book that says obey your husband the way the Bible teaches. No teenager could have written off that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, the Bible teaches these things. The changes that occur in those who embrace the Word of God are supernatural. Drug addicts had been broken. Alcoholics have been set free of the deliveries. Those who are violent have become meek and submissive, all because they've embraced the truth found in the Word of the Bible, of the supernatural, God's power and strength. The very presence of a Bible often produces an aura or a change in the atmosphere. Have you ever been into an airplane or a public place, a restaurant or something, and you pull out a Bible and you lay it on the table, and all those about you notice no novel or any kind of a fictional book could impact people like this. When they see that, it changes their attitude. Encyclopedias do not affect men like this. Lay a dictionary on a restaurant table, no one even take notice. But lay a Bible on a restaurant table, invisible view of those around you, they'll stare at you the entire meal. The magnetism of the Word of God is indescribable, irrefutable, and unforgettable. Use the Bible to find the answers to your problems and make certain that that you produce a positive aura about yourself because the Holy Spirit is with you. We need a new beginning. We need a second chance. That is why we have to stay with the love of Jesus, because he does give us that second chance. That's what eternal salvation is all about, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You have to open your mind and your heart to receive the Holy Spirit. There are many keys for new believers. And Dave, that's what I want to try to talk to today. The new believers sometimes wrestle with it, because maybe like me, it doesn't happen like a snap of your finger. It takes time. And there are many, many keys for young people or first believers, not necessarily young, but young in their faith. Could be at any age, I guess I could say it that way. In your years as a pastor and listening to people's difficulties and trying to be their encourager, you must have had many great points that you were able to share with people. Could you tell us some of those stories? I would really love to hear from your life's experiences. You always warm my heart with some of your contributions to these programs. And when it comes to salvation, you have to be the king of all radio programs. What do you have to say for yourself, Dave?
When I started my life, when I left home, I really wasn't a person until I got to college. When I got to college, I had to become a person because I was fixing my life to do something with it. And, you know, I remember we were learning how to sing, and we got to the church when we were just in Bible college, and the pastor would come and say, who will take care of the youth tonight before the main service? We have a youth service, and uh-huh. we need a speaker. And none of my guys wanted to do that, so I'd raise my hand. I'd say, I'll try. And then when we got to the who's going to be the MC, I said, you know, I'll try. Give me 6 months. If you don't like it, then it will change, but let me try. And then I found out that nobody wanted a message in music at first. You know, everybody, 100 groups, the promoters would come and say, listen, don't preach tonight. We don't want that. We want music, music, music. You know, that used to bug me.
Yeah.
If a guy got up and said that, then I'd do my best to give a message. And it came down to I had to secretly start like I was introducing the song to end up preaching before the end of the service.
Okay.
So that we could get away with it. And I learned how to preach for 6-7 minutes and no more. It was just like if you preached any more now, you were going to be thrown out for sure.
You lose them. Yeah.
Well, being the one who was going to do the closing gift, I didn't realize what was going to happen to me. But we would do more than 10,000 churches in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Like 13,000 closings that I was privileged to give. So if you ask me about salvation,
yes,
I prayed the sinner's prayer with a lot of people.
Yes, you did.
The world over. And those became very special times. And I'm noticing now that I watch when I'm not in the pulpit and I'm retired, so I go and sit there and listen to everybody else. I notice how people are bringing the message, salvation. What do they really say? And do people respond? You know something I've discovered, Giff? There are days and weeks and months when a kind of a spirit comes over the church when salvation is incredible. I learned this on the mission field. The pastor told me, he said, Dave, it doesn't come every Sunday. You're not going to have 50 people get saved every Sunday in our church. There's going to be some days when nobody's going to move. Nobody's even going to raise their hand.
Yep.
And I learned not to panic when nobody raised their hand, but the pastor will always tell me that there's coming a day when somebody will raise their hand and you will know, Dave, that's the time we're on the upsweep again.
Yes.
We're going to move and you can have up to 100 people come to the altar. So when I could hear him behind me. He'd always sit behind me when I was preaching. I'd ask how many people would like to raise their hands, and if one raised their hands or two, I could hear him back there, okay, Dave, okay, this is it. We're starting. This is the rally. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. You talk about pressure.
Yeah.
If you don't get people coming to the altar, if you're a real preacher and you want to give salvation message and it's your turn and people are, your team is expecting that, yeah. You got to get with it. And I learned to save something, not give all of my whole life to the singing. I had to save something for the preaching.
Yeah.
And I had to learn how to respect that moment and say, God, I'll give it, and you do the rest.
Yes.
Salvation is a powerful moment.
Isn't it, though?
It's an intimate moment with Christ. If you can remember the day you came down the altar and stood there and then finally knelt and prayed the sinner's prayer.
Yes.
That is an intimate moment with God that you will take it with you to eternity.
Yes.
And live in the New Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
With that kind of a moment. You're learning how to preach. You're doing a lot of preaching out here, and you're talking about a lot. Salvation is becoming a piece of gold out of your mouth.
Yes, it is. It's very important that we share that. All of us do that. You don't have to stand behind the pulpit to give a good sermon. Most sermons are viewed rather than heard. And you know something? I think that's something all of us need to work on. We need to make sure that when people see us, they're seeing the life of Christ, the way Christ would live today if he was walking by you. And that's what's very, very important. And we have to continue to share that thought process, even with all believers,
right,
new and old alike. Despise the chains that you have around you that were shackled with you from birth. You have to shed those shackles and live a godly life. Learn to hate those chains or those bad habits. Habit, boy, that's a key word. Habit is hell's greatest weapon in destroying your life. Let God break those chains and break those habits. What you can tolerate and what you cannot, learn the difference. So do not complain about the things you are permitted to go on in your life, because there are some things that need to be freed up. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's John chapter 8, verse 36 tells us that. So get rid of those chains that'll pull you down, and confess all of your sins and your shortcomings. Guilt is the thief of faith. When you permit sin in your life, you become uncomfortable in the presence of God. You see, it is difficult to expect a miracle from God if you resent confess your failures. Well, he'll forgive you if you confess it. But your mistakes and your sins have not shocked God. He anticipated your need for mercy. The master key to recovery is repentance. Do not try to justify yourself and quit blaming other people for the decisions that you have made. Repent immediately. Consider the consequences of rebellion to God. Rebellion is a punishment always. It may not happen today, but it's inevitable. It will happen to you if you rebel. The seed of disobedience is like a magnet attracting tragedy into your life. God will never advance you beyond your last act of disobedience. God is not stupid. He is not blind. He sees everything, and sooner or later, he will react to it. You cannot afford the losses of your rebellion when you create turmoil. When you see an alcoholic or a drug addict, you see someone who has lost the most precious thing in their life, and it's their health. Their loving relationship is down the tube. God promises gain to the obedient, and he guarantees loss to the disobedient. Every loser can be a lesson to all of us. We see it happening before us. Here, let me read a line from Proverbs chapter 1. For they that hated hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, therefore shall they eat of the fruits of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29, 30, and 31. You see, you have to risk everything to become an overcomer. You have to overcome these sinful ways and these bad habits that impact all of us. All of us. And, you know, we don't claim to be any better than anybody else. We overcome all of those shortcomings. Become an overcomer. That is your reward. In fact, they are the only ones who are the rewards are found in eternity. After Apostle Paul counted everything as a loss except his position with Christ, each victory authorizes God to promote you. In the world system, birth may decide rank. In the kingdom system, battle decides rank. Every synthetic attack upon you is simply another opportunity for promotion. So refuse to quit. Become an overcomer. The secret of champions is their refusal to quit trying. A futility is merely a feeling. Conquer it and keep headed towards your goal. Create small successes when large ones seem impossible. Even skyscrapers are built a brick at a time. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at a day, and not to me only, but unto all of those also that love in his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. David, the point you are making is quite clear, along with he's overcoming these obstacles.
I'm going to make a suggestion.
Okay, good.
There is so much to say about salvation.
Yes.
I took it from the preacher's outlook.
Yes.
But we need to go back and look at the home where salvation really should begin, with mom and dad. And I think we got to, you know, this is one time we're talking about this. Let's set aside two times more. I think there's enough information about salvation and how people need to be helped about it to realize what salvation prayer is.
Good
a
idea.
Lot of people don't understand that, and I think we could scrape up some terrific information that would help those who are tuned our way every time we're on the air.
I like that idea. Okay.
So, let's not be in a hurry about what we're doing.
Let's try to get
salvation is, you know, the people that you impress to come to your home and to listen to you. And you say, well, Dave, I'm not a preacher. That is not the most important thing. It's telling your story with a prayer at the end.
Good way to say it, Dave.
You don't have to get out any other kind of information. You can tell your story. How you were impressed to get on your knees and pray the sinner's prayer.
Yeah.
And if you're tuned today and you don't do that at all, you never even thought about it, may God give you people knocking your door every day and you saying, why are they coming? And I'm telling you, they're coming to hear the story of your life. Tell me your story.
Yes.
And so when we're talking about salvation, it's our story. It's God's story. He provided it, and we accepted it. That's the way it goes.
That's right.
And then we deliver it to somebody else. So I'm thrilled about this subject. This is a good one.
It's a powerful one, isn't it? Yes.
Everybody needs to be doing that. If you're going to build your church, you want to bring a family with you. Well, invite them to your home and give them your story, and they say, man, where'd you get that? Well, I got it from church.
That's right.
My church. Let me sit with me and let me help you find what God needs to do in your life.
Outstanding. You know, we never outgrow our need for that too, Dave. I'm finding that out. You know, I thought I crossed those bridges, you know, dozens of years ago. But I'm finding is the older I get, the more I appreciate other people's pearls of wisdom and their guidance and their encouragement. So I think this thing of encouraging one another to live a godly life is an ongoing thing. It's not something that happens to you. You take a pill when you're 25 years old and now you're a Christian. That's not the way it works. It continues to evolve and grow and expand. And as we receive all of the goodness, we have to sometimes overcome, you know, like we were talking about, being an overcomer. Get rid of those bad habits and addictions and being judgmental and all of those shortcomings that we're all faced with day in and day out. I think it's a good idea that we try to encourage each other and allow us time to change our lives. It doesn't happen real quick. Do not be too hard on yourself little by little and day by day. Your life will change if you submit to the words of God. Every man fails. Champions simply get back up and they begin again. Give God time to work in your life. And it will happen. Sometimes those things you desire the most may take a little longer to achieve. And it might take longer to make a Rolls Royce than it does a bicycle. But it's worth it, isn't it? Sometimes good is happening and you don't even see it. Wait joyfully with great expectations, because the Lord will allow things to change in your life. Dave, I know that you had asked for some time to offer a special prayer to these people that are listening to us today. And our engineer is Carla De Jesus has indicated to me that we really only have a few minutes left. So I would like for you to close in prayer time, if you could, for our listeners. Each one of these people are sincere. They are searching for eternal salvation. They want to find that peace and comfort. Dave, with your skills, I am sure that you're able to touch them today. Would you share with us, please, in our closing minutes?
Yes, Giv. I want our prayer to be not just me. I want it to be a together prayer. I'll say the sentence, and you can repeat it after me if you want. And
okay.
We'll say it together, and God will help us. And this will be the beginning of helping someone else. By the time you do it 10,000 times, you'll be looking forward to the next person that comes up to you and says, "Well, can I talk to you, brother? You better believe it." So let's pray together.
Okay,
dear Jesus, I believe that you died for me and rose again on the third day. I really confess to you that I am a sinner. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. Come into our lives today. Forgive our sins and give us eternal life. I confess, Lord, that you are now my Lord. Thank you for salvation. I walk in your peace and joy from this moment on. It's an intimate moment that I'm having with you, Lord. I come boldly to you today. We do. On this radio broadcast, we are pausing to ask you, in the name of Jesus, to come in behalf of our friends who are in desperate need. We bind the spirit of those who don't believe, those who doubt, those that have lost their life because of pushing out everything from our mind and our home and our heart. I release the presence of Jesus into my life. Receive the forgiveness and healing power of Jesus Christ into your life and into your mind and into your heart and into your body and in to your soul. May this be the most powerful moment you've lived in a long time, because Jesus loves you, gave his life for you, and you have complete deliverance in his name. And everybody said, Amen.
That's beautiful, Dave. Thank you, my friend. I think our listeners understand and appreciate what you're trying to share with them. Be healed in your mind, be healed in your emotions, be healed in your memories, be healed in your body, be healed in your marriage, be healed in your finance, be healed in your broken heart, be healed in all of your infirmities, be healed in your sense of unworthiness, be healed in your lack of confidence. Follow the encouragement that Dave has prayed for you, and you too can find eternal peace and eternal salvation. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.